Hello and welcome everyone to our Pentecost edition of the Hope Canteen Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us and taking the time to listen. My name is Stephen London. I am joined today by Michael Rolfe, assistant priest at St. Thomas, as well as Stephanie London, also at St. Thomas, as well as the rector of St. Columba in Beaumont. Great to see you again, as always. How have you been, Michael?
It's been a great week. We're basking in the sunshine, just absolutely loving it. And our grandchildren have been very very active on their bicycles, and they keep stopping it at our house as a sort of pit stop on the way through, just so that they can pick up essentials like a drink and a pile of cookies. So it's been a good week for us.
That would be a great stop. I might consider that myself. How about you, Stephanie?
Yeah, doing pretty well. I'm running into a bit of creativity fatigue, but apart from that, everything's going pretty well. We're enjoying the sunshine too.
Great. Yeah, I think I'm the same. I'm loving this beautiful weather, though. I know I have to get out there and mow probably tomorrow if the rain doesn't pour down. Yeah, things are pretty good. I think for me, I'm a little bit weighed down by world events, everything going on, especially the deaths of Arbery and Floyd in the States. I can't quite stop thinking about it. But anyway, that's, I think, happening with many people today. Today on our podcast, we are looking at the story of Pentecost. We are coming to the end of the Easter season. If you wish to read the story before we get going, you can pause the podcast here. We're looking at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter number 2, verses 1 to 21. And it's definitely a pivotal story in the New Testament. There's definitely a before Pentecost and an after Pentecost. For us, remember, this is after the ascension of Jesus. The disciples have been praying for 10 days, waiting for something big to happen. Jesus had promised them something would happen. And on the Jewish feast of Pentecost, they find themselves all gathered together in one place with Jews from around the world. And while they're there, something amazing happens. While they're sitting down, there's a sound of a rush, a violent wind all around them. And then what looks to be tongues of fire on the head of each of the disciples. And then the truly amazing thing happens. All of the disciples start telling everyone there about the love of God and Jesus Christ in the languages of each of those Jews from all around the known world. As you can imagine, the people hearing this were astonished. Some of them dismissed it. These men are drunk. But Peter goes on to explain, not only are they not drunk, but that this event fulfills the ancient prophecy of Joel that God is going to pour out the Holy Spirit on the whole world. This is an event that is very important for us as Christians to understand. So, Michael and Stephanie, I'm very grateful that you're here to help us get at the deeper meaning of this very important story. And Stephanie, maybe I'll start with you. Maybe before we get to what we mean by the Holy Spirit and our Christian understanding of Pentecost, maybe you could help us to understand what Pentecost meant to the original disciples when they were gathered there all those years ago.
So before Pentecost was a Christian festival, it was a Jewish harvest festival. It was the Feast of Weeks. The word Pentecost comes from the word for 50. So this is 50 days after Passover, and we celebrate it as 50 days after Easter. Of course, Holy Week and Passover often coincide. It was originally an agricultural feast, but it came to reflect celebrating the giving of the law on Sinai. So there's an interesting tie in terms of the story of our faith, because the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, followed God in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that's how God led them through the desert. And now, in a sense, in this feast that reflects the giving of the law, we understand the Holy Spirit also coming in fire and wind and reflecting the writing of the law on human hearts rather than on the tablets that Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. So as you said, Steve, there's a definite before Pentecost and after Pentecost in terms of how we understand the presence of God in our lives.
We need to remember that this is not the first time that the disciples have received the Holy Spirit. There was a brief moment recorded at the end of John's Gospel when Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and gave them power to forgive sins. That was earlier on, in obviously, when Jesus was still with them. But now we come to this great moment when the lasting effect of the Holy Spirit comes for them, and it's a very dramatic account.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very important for us to understand this is such a huge moment, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and understanding what this means for us as Christians. This event is always so important to me, because I think part of the Christian life, it's many people who are outside the church think of it as often as a call to be a good person, right? A Christian is someone who's meant to be a good person. And of course, we're called to be good people, to be sure. But it's so much bigger than that. It's actually a sharing of the life of God. And that's what's amazing about this, that God is what he meant to do in the beginning of all creation, to be with his people, Emmanuel. We talked about this last week with the ascension. But the Holy Spirit, the church has always confessed, is actually not a part of God or a messenger sent by God, but actually God himself shared with us and walking with us. I think that's one of the wonderful things about this feast.
I love the power in this story, the Holy Spirit coming like a rush of wind. This is no still small voice, right? This is the dramatic effect. You can't miss it.
I think I also love the fact that it's, I'm going to say, egalitarian. The idea that often people of high stature in biblical history, maybe someone like Moses or something like Samuel or other figures in the Old Testament, would have been blessed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Mary was blessed with the Holy Spirit at the birth of Jesus. But as Peter is talking about in the prophet Joel, this is a promise that God is going to pour out the Spirit on all people, sons and daughters, men, young men, old men, slaves, men and women alike, high and young. On all of them, God is going to pour the Holy Spirit, and it's going to transform the world.
And that's, I think, what's behind this list of various places that the people are from. There's Parthians and Medes and Elamites and on and on and on. It's always a challenge for the person reading this passage to read that list of names. But what the image I have in my mind is a dandelion, right? You blow on it and the seeds go everywhere. And this is the breath of God blowing on God's people and sending them out to all corners of the world.
This is what strikes me. I just love all the imagery about airflow. As I mentioned, that passage towards the end of John's Gospel where Jesus breathed on the disciples to give them the Spirit. Now we have this rushing mighty wind blowing. And this is how God's Spirit was moving and continues to move. And you know, I have often said that to people that we need to remember that God's Spirit is as close to us as breath itself. As we breathe, so we have that Spirit within us. And I just love the imagery of the flow of air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing static about this passage at all. It's it's not the end of a story. It's not the beginning of a story. It's like all of those and the middle of it, and it's moving forward.
I think, Michael, your point is very well taken. It's worth reminding us, even if we know this already, of course, that in both the Hebrew language and the Greek language, both the word spirit and breath are the same. So that you could say in English, either I pour out my spirit on all people, or I will pour out my breath on all mm-hmm. people. And of course, this goes back to, again, the imagery of the Garden of Eden, when God breathed into the Adam, the dirt man, and gave him life. Oh, and yes. That the life that we have is the breath of God.
And that life pours out in language, which is an interesting tie-in to the breath in this story. People start hearing them speak in all sorts of different languages. The amazing things that God has done.
Yes, the disciples take a deep breath and then carry on. Mm. Yes, it's wonderful.
I think it's also worth noting the importance of this story, the before Pentecost and after Pentecost, and very closely connected with the idea of the resurrection. But there's always this interesting question of how such a small, frightened, puzzled, largely uneducated group of people in the very far corner of the Roman Empire would so quickly be a force to be reckoned with within decades and in just a few centuries. The whole Roman Empire would know the name of Jesus, in fact, would be Christian. And something happened there that turned these small group of people into, again, like I said, a force to be reckoned with. The Holy Spirit comes with power.
Yes, and that power is transferred. The disciples are empowered. They're given the freedom to go out and preach, and they take it, and they do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is just early in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, but we're going to read all about it as we go through the book, because it's just wonderful what they're able to accomplish.
Yes, normally, often in our Anglican churches, we don't take on the label Pentecostal. Often that's seen as a separate denomination. But in some sense, I think it's important to remember that all of us are Pentecostal in the sense of all of us are called to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be transformed, as you said, Stephanie, to have this written in our hearts, which is a way of saying it changes our lives. It forms us in the image of Christ. This Holy Spirit is our power, our birthright, our connection to the living God.
Some people would suggest that the test of how Pentecostal we are is whether, in fact, we can speak in other languages, speak in tongues. I don't particularly buy into that, but I do accept the fact that there is power, and so once we receive the Holy Spirit, then we are able to do great things.
Yeah, I would come at that similarly, maybe a little differently. I think the point often of tongues is actually the wrong one to get at. I think, as Stephanie was pointing out, you know, when we look at all these people that are from Pontus and Phrygia and Cappadocia, and then all the way over in what would be the Persian Empire, later Parthians and Medes and Elamites in these different languages, I think it reminds us it's not that the speaking in tongues is the important part, but that the word of God can actually be spoken in all those languages. Christianity doesn't have a sacred language, so to speak, that everybody has to learn if you really, really want to know what God is about and who Jesus is. Pentecost tells us that the word of God is actually contained in all these languages, can be spoken in every language, in every place, with power. That the language itself is not what's important, but it's the word of God. It's the power of the word of God spoken in those other languages that changes people, that I think is the point of that. So I think I'm agreeing with you, Michael.
Yeah, some people see this story as a reversal of the Tower of Babel when people were divided on basis of language. Mm-hmm. And this is the Spirit of God bringing people back together so that there's this great unity around the person of Christ and in the Holy Spirit that brings people together no matter what language they're speaking.
You know, all of these places, we look at geography and all these places are surrounded by a boundary. And I think the message here is there are no boundaries. The Spirit can move through all the boundaries that we might create in order to have an effect.
And in fact, that Spirit is continuing the work of the incarnation by moving across those boundaries in humans, that people are sent out to be little Christs in all these places that Jesus's physical feet never actually touched.
Mm. Actually, maybe on that note, combining those two, the no boundaries and the being little Christ, we're in a pandemic, as we've been now for the last 11 weeks, going much longer than we had anticipated. And we read this story of Pentecost so many years ago. We want to say it's not just a historical story, that it can speak to us today. And I'm wondering if either of you had any thoughts about what it might speak to us today in our time and place.
The first thing that comes to me is about the social distancing that we're being encouraged to do wherever we might be, whether it's in the grocery store or out on the street. And I have this sudden image. God isn't confined by those regulations. God will be as close as possible. God is with us and not socially distant in any way.
Yeah, I love that. God's not socially distant. Yeah, I heard a phrase not that long ago calling us the dispersed church, that we're no longer confined to buildings, but like these people in this Acts reading, we've been blown out into wherever we are. So if you're sitting and listening in your house, you're the church there and you're part of a bigger whole, and God is no less present with you in your particular isolation situation than God is present when there's a whole bunch of people gathered in the physical church building.
I agree with all that. I think the only thing I would add is when I'm sitting in my prayer on a daily basis, as Christians have done for centuries, I invite the Holy Spirit to come to me. And like you said, there are no boundaries. I know the Holy Spirit is present within me. Feel him. I think he's the source of my love. I think he's the one who gives me strength. And so I think we always encourage people to do that. And I just draw on that every day. So I think that's an important thing. This gift that God has given to the disciples, he's given to me, he's given to you, he's given to everybody. And it's poured out freely. There is no stinginess in the pouring out of God in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I'd like to also capture the motion in that we're given the gift and it's for a purpose. It's so that we continue the work that God's doing. And also with the hope that the church doesn't end with COVID or whatever, the work of God is still moving forward and we're invited into that.
Well, thank you all so much for joining us for this Pentecost edition of the Hope Canteen. We're so grateful for our listeners who do listen. And again, if you have any thoughts about the Holy Spirit or Pentecost or any questions, please don't hesitate to let us know. I would love to hear from you. My email is revstevelondon@gmail.com. And we will get back to you as quickly as we can. Until next week, we want to say thank you and goodbye.
Have a good weekend, everyone.
For now.